fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to episode 27 of the Johnny and Josh Show. Well, 27 is that wonderful number. The energies it represents makes the number kind-hearted, tolerant, intelligent, a team worker, and so very much wanting to see humanity better off than it is. Load of nonsense, obviously. And let's face it, it's been a crazy last day of the regular season. After 162 games, it all came down to what? Who knows? Well, thankfully, the world's most sensible baseball gurus join me to make sense of it all. Great pleasure to welcome Big Davey Lengel and Eric, the producer. Big Dave, were you up all night watching that baseball on the last day of the regular season?
Up all night? Well, it was during the day.
Well, of course it was, you know, but we have to stay up a little bit later here in the UK because nice we're hardcore.
The games started at around 3 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States.
So sleep,
which was cool. It's cool when they all start. You know, it's a rare day indeed. In fact, probably the only day that every single team plays and every single team starts at the same time. So you know, it's a great day for scoreboard watching because there's a lot of drama. And of course, there was a tremendous amount of drama on Sunday, and I didn't watch it. I listened to it. I was flipping back and forth between radio stations.
Old school.
And you have to say, boy, even for an old traditionalist like you, Eric, that hates loads of innovations, you know, and the wild card obviously presumably is one of them. You're okay with the wild card. Okay. Well, I know a lot of purists. I know there's a lot of purists that aren't so happy. But even the purists that are anti the wild card must have loved what was happening on that last day in the American League wild card when you've got four teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox in the driving seat, one game ahead of the Mariners and the Blue Jays and all sorts of potential ramifications in terms of who wins, who loses. And what amazed me, Dave, was you've got Boston and New York in the ninth tied. Blue Jays have already won, dominant. Mariners are out of it. They've had an absolute shocker. But the Blue Jays are waiting in the wings.
Yes, they're watching. They're in the clubhouse. They're watching.
They're watching the game. And both the Yankees and the Red Sox produce a bit of magic in the ninth.
I was furious. I was so pissed. I'm actually still upset because I wanted the Jays to get – Eric doesn't like this because Eric doesn't like anything Toronto.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I understand that as a Montreal sympathizer myself, but you know, I'm sick of the Reds. I don't want to see the Red Sox. I don't want to see the Yankees. These teams are not good. The Yankees are not good. They're not good. The Red Sox had a great season, deserve a tremendous amount of respect for what they were able to do and what basically was kind of like a rebuilding year for them. But you know, the Jays were the better team. Clearly deserve to be in the playoffs. I don't like the D word. That's like an English word. Oh, he deserved it. He deserved it. That's like a total English thing. I'm like, if you deserve it, put the ball in the back of the net, then you deserve it. But having said that, the Jays scored over 180 runs more than they gave up. And they are the first team since 2002 to not make the playoffs after having a run differential that high. I mean, they were that good. They should have been, you know, if you look at the Pythagorean record, they should have been competing with the Rays for the division title, not down there with the suckers. And they were just, you know, I guess what they say, here's another British term, unlucky. They were very unlucky. And, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox, here we go. Now we got to watch that crap again for like the 7,000.
I'm already bringing out the waffle because the hilarious thing is we've allocated this rant for later on the show. But hey, you know, he came out the starting gates a bit too early.
I think I came out hot. That's what Chris Sale did. Chris Sale came out and he struck out seven in two and like a third inning or two and two.
Okay, here we go again because there's an alley. If David,
all right, we'll do it
running,
later. Go.
Yeah, okay, this is my job. I'm the presenter. I'm going to have to get involved. But you know what? I'm so excited at a man who can introduce the word Pythagorean into a baseball.
Pythagorean.
That's such a great word. I'm loving that. I'm loving that. And as a man who had a tenner on the Blue Jays to win the World Series at 33-1, I'm sharing your disappointment, big guy, reasons.
All I'm going to say is that I know that we're going off piste here because we're supposed to be talking about the wild card and the playoff implications later on the show. But what pissed me off about yesterday's dramatic final day of the season is I actually did find myself rooting for the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, when George Springer hit a grand slam, I was like, yes. And I was like, oh my God, what's happened to me?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me?
It's got to be Vlad. It's Vladdy, right? It's got to be a little Vladdy.
Vladdy is a good Montreal, born
it's
and
Canada.
Raised.
I mean, it counts. I know. It's Upper on. Canada.
Moving on. I'm giving myself a
walk. Okay, now. Moving on, guys. You're going to love this biblical reference, given what we've all just been discussing.
Right, in hit me with it.
In the King James Version of the Bible's Old Testament, the 27th word in honor of the 27th episode is deep. And that's what this has been. It's been a deep conversation. It's been a deep reality. It's been deeply fun. And when you talk about notable 27s in the world of baseball, we've only got three retired numbers. Carlton Fisk, Catfish Hunter, and Juan Marichal. You're going to have to tell me if that's the right pronunciation.
Juan Marichal.
Okay. Hall of Famer, 2018. One of my all-time favorites, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. MLB leader for hits by a Dominican player. Although I know Adrian Beltre since claimed the record from him in 2014.
One of the best right-handed hitters to ever play.
Absolutely. And in 2021, this is the stat I love. He and his son became the second father-son duo in MLB history to each have a 40 home run season in their careers. Joining who? Can you remember?
Bond's father.
No, Cecil and Prince Field.
So,
boys, if you look at, it's very interesting this, we've only lost three to retired numbers at 27. Yet you look at the current crop of 27s, what an all-star team you can put together. Vladdy Jr., obviously, like Dad, Mike Trout, Giancarlo Stanton, Jose Altuve, and I don't know if we're allowed to mention Trevor Bauer. I mean, obviously, he's done, but he's had, he was a Cy Young Award winner. I mean, that's extraordinary that one number has been attracted to so many amazing players.
Are you telling me that Vladdy didn't have his number retired in Anaheim, L.A.,
What are they waiting for?
Well,
his numbers are Montreal. They don't exist anymore.
Well, he should be retired in Montreal.
But there's no more Montreal.
But there might be.
And the Nats won't do it. So
that'll be one of the first things they do, right, is retire 27. You got to
Well, and he only played for the Orioles for one season. So,
the Orioles. Sorry, yeah.
He played Anaheim for what? Five seasons?
No, seven.
Seven seasons. Okay, I believe. But somebody should retire his number, shouldn't they? I mean, that's how good he was. Let me share with you guys a few stats to show you how good a team you could put together of the current crops of 27.
All right, go ahead. Give us the numbers.
Okay, so the active players playing off 27, you've got 34 All-Star appearances, you've got 20 Silver Slugger Awards, 6 Gold Glove Awards, and 5 MVP Awards. Read it and weep. What a great stat.
That's pretty good. You need a little bullpen help.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other pitchers now, but also I'm thinking of other 27s. There's Trevor Story. There's Austin Riley. So, you're right. That's quite an interesting set. There's a lot.
Darren Oliver wore 27 for the Mets in 2006 for about 5 months. He's good out of the bullpen, not good lefty out of the pen. You could bring him in.
Moving on.
COVID update. Canadian border, who cares? They're not in it anymore. It's all irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Although David Sogo gets maple syrup.
But I'm assuming there aren't. I'm not aware of any teams suffering any severe COVID ILs.
At the moment, we'll see if it'll affect the playoffs. At the moment, it hasn't. We don't know, but that's it. COVID does not affect the postseason.
Rear
too
its
much.
Ugly head during our playoffs. Don't interrupt our playoffs, COVID.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we've got 162 regular season games done, and that is amazing in this, the first proper full COVID season of baseball. So great job from MLB for getting through it. Right. Don't forget, look at the bottom of the screen, hit the buttons that say like and all that sort of stuff and subscribe. We're talking the Johnny and Josh Show. This is our big social media, which, by the way, has gone down. I mean, this is extraordinary. What is happening in the world of social media?
I think it's back up.
Is it back up?
Facebook is back up.
I'll be honest, guys, I didn't even notice. Back up.
That's the good thing, because right, as at the time of recording, that's right, we apparently Facebook is just churning back to power, but we've lost WhatsApp, we've lost Instagram, we've lost Messenger, we lost Facebook for about 7 hours.
Did we lose Twitter?
No, Twitter is still going. Actually, I had to announce on Twitter that Facebook was down. Oh, the irony. But the thing, this old dinosaurs like us who remembers life before social media,
and we don't know from social media. We're all at the caucus.
We don't. We know. We're analog ready. You know, so we know what we could do this podcast on vinyl if you wanted to.
I'm
putting that on my CV. Analog ready, Johnny G. Love it. Love it. Hardcore.
That's
okay.
Where we come from.
Let's move it on.
When we went off air, we were still 4x3, not 16x9. So that's how old we are.
Don't tell that to people.
That's
so embarrassing.
But moving on to trivia now.
Ooh.
What have you got for us, big guy?
Okay, now at the end of this regular season, I was looking at triples because, you know, we were talking about, you know, how fun the triple is. You know, when Josh was alluding to the MLB rule changes about getting rid of the shift. Because basically what's more fun than a home run? It's hitting a triple.
Absolutely. Triples are great.
Triples are fun, you know, and David mentioned that too in one of the episodes.
Chicks dig the triples.
Basically, what I'm talking about here is that I looked at, like, who finished the regular season in most triples? Well, it was David Peralta and Brian Reynolds, you know, two bottom dollar teams, finished tied with 8 triples for the 2021 season.
That's it? That's very low.
It's very low. But the second was our good friend Akil Badu with 7.
Wow, good for
him. Wow, good on Akil.
But the whole thing, the whole point is, yeah, like David said, it's like the triple sort of not died a death, but it's like, whatever happened to the triple?
Well, the triples is a 19th century record. If you look at leads the
career all time
triples, it's like somebody ridiculous. It's like somebody from 1878 or something.
Like
Hall of Famer Sam Crawford. He's not exactly a nobody. He's a Hall of Famer.
All right, fine.
Sorry, buddy. I'd already done it.
Okay, so who has a career most? No, I'm kidding. My question to you is, which of these three guys are currently the all-time active triple leaders? All right. So active players with the most triples. Is it A, Dexter Fowler? Is it B, Brett Gardner? Yeah. Or is it C, Calvin Kiermaier?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's an interesting eclectic group there.
Dexter Fowler still playing?
Maybe. Well, no, he isn't. That's why I said active, yes. No Googling, thank you.
Sorry. I just wanted to see how where he was. I think he's in St. Louis.
Now, moving on, because that's the end of the top of the show.
Well, thank God for that, because I haven't got a clue. Okay, let's kick things off with our first batter up. And guess what? Somebody's changed the lineup. We are not doing the news roundup, as is our traditional leadoff. We're going to start with things that, let's just get to it, because that's exactly what happened at the top of the show. The regular season is over. We have a wild, wild card scenario. When last night, Sunday night, we were looking at possibly not one, but two playoff game, pre-wild card games.
Yeah.
It was all very exciting. National League was boring. Obviously, Cards and either Dodgers or Giants were going to be the wild card. That was guaranteed. The only issue was who was going to win the NL West. Congratulations, by the way, to Giants and all Giants fans. I think they've been amazing to hold off the Dodgers and win.
They have been.
I'm so thrilled for Giants fans. 100% deserve it. And I'll tell you what, for anybody out there that has a team in the playoffs, you've got to like the fact that the juggernaut that is the Dodgers now have to beat the informed Cards to go through. And in one game, and as we all know, anybody's ball game when it's a one game crapshoot. And then they go in to play the Giants, who are the best team in baseball, got the best record. So, you know, the Dodgers are going to have to earn it the hard way if they're going to go all the way and repeat the World Series win of last year. But let's focus on the AL, guys. We've already mentioned at the top of the show. I mean, what an extraordinary story. You've already had your rant about the Blue Jays. We won't revisit
that. Very upset.
I know you are, buddy. I know you
are.
Very
upset.
But just to confirm what the playoff picture is, because I could tell you now, it's obviously not, it's still not that clear because we've got 2 one-game wildcards to sort between Boston and New York and, of course, between the Dodgers and St. Louis in the NL. But who do you fancy? Who is this playoff pitcher, in your view, Dave, benefiting?
Who does it benefit?
Yes.
Benefits the Rays because they have to play those lousy Red Sox or Yankees in the ALDS.
And you don't see them losing to either?
No. No way.
No. Okay.
Those teams are garbage. They're garbage. They're not going to touch the Rays. The Rays are a masterpiece. They won 100 games in the most competitive division in all of baseball, I would say. 1 through 4, at least. not counting the Orioles. Talk about them later. Look, the Rays are the team to beat. No question about it. I know that people like the Astros. They won 95 games. And, you know, everybody kind of – if they, look, nobody likes the Astros, but they like Dusty. So if you can get somebody to get over the cheating thing, there's always Dusty to root for if you're desperate. But, you know, I'm looking at the White Sox. I really want to see this White Sox-Astros series, and I've been calling it all year, La Russa. He's a wizard. You know, that son of a bitch. He wins all the time. He's a pain in the ass. He's always there. He drives everybody crazy, including his own team, And yet he wins all the time. And this is, you know, what a story it would be if he actually came back and took this team to an ALCS, don't you think?
I 100% agree. Don't forget, top of the season, I predicted the White Sox to represent the American League in the World Series. So, I'm only a couple of series away from that coming true. Let me ask you this, Eric. How big a deal is home field advantage? Astros were obviously graded two, seeded two in the American League. They will get home field advantage, but it's only a 5-game series. Is that a big deal?
It would be for the Astros. Now, but then you got to think about it. Will it be for Tampa Bay, who obviously – they're still in that quagmire. Will they have a fan base to root them enough being back at home? Who knows? The home field
will the place be full of Yankees fans and Red Sox fans?
That's the problem.
Well, will it? Can you remember last season? I mean, obviously last season was COVID year, so therefore, you know, the fans.
There was nobody there.
There was nobody there. But will
so they were used to that, the Rays. That was good for them.
Right. So this year, obviously, with full stands, I mean, it's a very valid point. If say, the Yankees beat Boston and it's a Rays-Yankees matchup, will there be more Yankee fans even in Tampa?
I think I don't know if there'll be more, but I think they'll be significantly represented. They'll probably open up the upper deck to get more fans in there.
The UK has a ridiculous amount of Rays fans. They have a good UK Rays fan base. Twitter, where we connect with the UK Rays Twitter feed and fan base clubs here, and mostly I guess because it is a good holiday destination for Brits, Florida that is. So then it's a lot easier to go to Tampa Bay than to Marlins games, and so. Hey, you know, there's more Rays fans in London than there are in Tampa Bay.
I'll tell you what, there seems to be, just looking at the attendance all year, there seems average to be
9,000. You know,
the games do go up when the Yankees or the Red Sox are in town. They get better attendance.
But yeah. average 9,000, though, isn't it?
It's pretty shocking, isn't it, to be honest? The average.
They got 14,000 for the Yankees, 12,000, 11,000, and they're averaging 9.
Well, especially for a team that's got the best record in the American League, I do think it's pretty awful. Just a quick word before we move into the National League. Just your thoughts about Seattle. They were the comeback kings. They kept it going right to the last day of the season, and yet they couldn't get the job done. Not that it would have made any difference because the Red Sox and the Yankees both won. So even if they had won, they wouldn't have made the postseason. But you've got to tip your hat to the Mariners. They've done some great stuff, particularly in the last month.
They had a very nice run, and as unlucky as the Jays were, the Seattle were about, I would say, half as lucky. They were very lucky. You know, they were not a very good team, but they managed to go against the grain, at least when it goes against their, you know, the run differential. Yeah. You know, if you look at their Pythagorean, they should have been a lot worse than they were. But what they did have is an explosive rookie in Kelenic, who was, of course, the outfielder, the center fielder for the Seattle Mariners, who was a super prospect for the Mets, who they dealt away for like a bag of popcorn and some chewing gum. And he had a terrible season, but he came alive as the season went down the stretch. And this rookie with all this promise, all this hype, who had such a terrible 2021 and then just went crazy for the last month or so and carried Seattle towards the playoffs. And there was a great, great energy in the ballpark. Kelenic challenged the Seattle fans to fill every seat for that last series, and they did. So there was an incredible atmosphere as they were taking on the Angels. And Kyle Seager played what might have been his last game in Seattle and was given a tremendous ovation. It was kind of brought to tears by it. But yeah, look, they have the longest playoff drought amongst the four major sports in North America. I don't know if you know that. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2001, Ichiro's rookie season.
And also the only team in Major League Baseball currently to never have been in a World Series.
They've never been in a World Series.
Wow. Yeah. That is amazing.
Like, those poor fans.
And yet at the beginning of the season.
There are good fans out there.
It's good golf. Good ball.
And guys, I tell you what, memories of us, I think it was 2008 on our last ever road trip. I remember I wasn't a massive fan of the stadium. I mean, it was, you know, different. Yeah, I know you liked it. I wasn't sure it didn't. But I tell you what I was a fan of. I was a real fan of the organization. I thought they were lovely. They made us feel so welcome. We had an absolutely fantastic day there. And that really stuck out. It was one of the most enjoyable days that we ever had in all the, 2021 stadiums and teams that we visited. I have to say that was right near the top for me. I was very, very.
They let us hang out in the dugout and we spoke with the coaching staff and the backroom staff. And
I've only been there once and I was there in December. Want to guess why I was there in December in Safeco? I was working for the television show Trans World Sport, which is a very popular show in the UK and globally and still on the air, unbelievably, still on the air. I can't believe it. And I was presenting the Sportsman of the Year Award to Ichiro.
Wow.
Ichiro to come out to Safeco Field in December, and I carried that Waterford Crystal Trophy from London to Seattle. I went across the customs. They charged me duty on the trophy for Ichiro. Can you believe? I said, this is for Ichiro. You're charging us duty on this thing? This is for your guy.
I love it. Hey, buddy.
I prepared this whole speech to him in Japanese, where I was going to ask him if he wanted to go out to on a steak dinner with me. I was like, you guys want to go out and get it? I heard he likes steak. Would you like to go? And I'll take you out for steak. And then I met Ichiro and I gave him the trophy and we recorded the little spiel, like, thank you very much, blah, blah, blah. And I got so nervous, I forgot the whole Japanese speech. And I never got to ask Ichiro if he would go out to steak for a steak dinner with me. Very disappointed.
And can you remember any of the Japanese nowadays?
None. I got it because I used to play ball in London and all these guys were Japanese. I said, teach me how to say this. And I wrote it down and I was practicing it on the plane and I was going to do this. And then I bottled it. Total bottle job.
Okay, I'm going to round this conversation up about the Mariners with this. They ended up with 90 wins on the season. Only three teams in the whole of the National League bettered that total. So I hope Mariner fans can take that away and feel
they were
good
a lot
themselves.
Of fun. They deserve a lot of credit.
Unbelievable.
They weren't expected to challenge like this, and they did. And good for them. And I hope they get there one day.
Let's talk National League, buddy. Let's talk National League because we need to round up this section. The one thing I want to say is right now, how good are you if you're a Brewer or a Braves fan? Because obviously I'm a Braves fan. I'm loving the fact that basically the three form teams in the National League, which is the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Cards, they're going to beat each other up and only one of them is going to progress. So as long as we can beat the Brewers, and the Brewers will be thinking the same, as long as we can beat the Braves, we've only got to beat one of the three best teams in the National League to make it to the World Series.
Oh, look at this. You are underestimating the Brewers. Look at that.
I'm not. Yes, I just said either the Brewers or the Braves. I'm saying that Brewers fans and Braves fans are having the same thought. And that is, we don't have to face off against the best teams in the National League. We're going to have to face off with one of them. Whereas they're going to be, you know, the Dodgers have got to beat two of them. So it's happy days if you're a Brewers fan or a Braves fan.
All right, fine. I like the Brewers in this series. I never liked the Braves in the playoffs because the Braves have a terrible history in the playoffs.
Yes, they do. Thank you for reminding me.
And I hate the Braves because I was an NL East guy when I was in Montreal, right?
So there you go. I mean, the fact that they only won one World Series with all those guys in 95.
Yeah.
That's a disaster.
Thanks for reminding me.
All those division titles, what was it, 14 in a row, except for like a...
Greatest team in modern history, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, to get one trophy out of that, that's a mess.
Hey, we got more than one trophy. We got a load of pennants, okay? So stick that in your trophy cabinet.
I mean, as a Mets fan, I would be happy to have
some. But you're loving the Brewers because of their starting rotation.
They have great pitching, and we know what happens in the playoffs. My friend is going to yell at me. My friend always says that pitching wins championships. He says that's complete bullshit.
I disagree.
He says it's complete. He always says this every year. This is his shtick. Pitching does not win. You have to score runs to win. Who ever won a game 0-0? That's what he says.
Yeah. But remind me of, you know, Randy Johnson and Kurt Schilling. I mean, it's a load of tosh. I totally agree that the strongest pitching. Look at the Washington Nationals. How did they win the World Series against all the odds 2 years back? They won it because of their starting rotation, not because of their hitters.
And they, you know, obviously Milwaukee lost one of their important relievers in Devin Williams. I know that's not for now, but it's kind of for now in our show. Look, Devin Williams broke his hand. That's a no-no. You'd never punch a wall with your hand, no matter what. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
He put it into a wall, and now one of the best setup men in Major League Baseball is out of the playoffs. So that does hurt them. But you've got to think they might still have enough, I think, to get past the Braves.
Guys, quick rewind. We were asked by Mike Dowling, UK's number one Giants fan, were the Giants going to win the pennant? And were they going to win the World Series? Josh said no and no. I said yes to the pennant and no to the World Series. That's why I'm here. I'm not sure you were here. So don't worry. So, Dave, you weren't here.
So are they going to win the pennant?
What did you say, Eric? Remind us what you said.
I said Bay Area World Series.
Yes. Yeah, I think you said yes and yes, didn't you?
Well, that's not going to happen.
So Eric and I have right on the first half. I've gone no for the World Series. He's gone yes. What are you saying, Dave?
For the World Series?
Yeah. You're a no?
I think Tampa's going to be. Well, no, I think the White Sox are going to be. I am backing the White Sox all the way.
Okay.
Because of La Russa, because he's a spook.
Okay.
I'm telling you, the guy casts spells in the dugout.
Okay, moving on. We're up for our second batter.
No. Hang on. He owns people's heads.
Can I just say something with the wild card here?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, far
away. Upon further review, and I know I was doing some research, but the Montreal Expos, rest in peace. Had the wild card, and I did some analytics here, had the wild card existed, because the wild card was only introduced in 1994.
Right? Yeah.
In 1994, there was a strike. So it was actually introduced in 95, practically. But had the wild card existed pre-94, the Montreal Expos would have made the playoffs.
How many times?
Seven times.
Seven. Wow.
Seven. But as a result, they only won the NL East once. So they only made the playoffs once in their history.
1981.
So, but had there been, you know, one year they finished half a game behind. The amount of times they finished second or the second best team in the NL.
You could say that about a lot of teams, though.
Sure, but I did my research, and
bet you that from 84 to 90, the Mets would have made it every single year. Well, they won 90 games every year.
Do your own research then. I did my Expos research.
I will do my research. I've been meaning to look into that, actually.
Eric, I've got a question for you before we move on. Have you heard of the term clutching at straws?
Well, I know I can't go back in time, but anyways, one more thing as well as I want to say about the wild card.
Yeah.
Not the wild card. This postseason playoff picture. If the Astros and the Brewers were to meet in the World Series,
imagine that. Astros Brewers. Who is going to watch that?
Yeah.
Well, but interesting enough, pre 98, that would have been an AL versus NL reversed matchup.
Oh. Because
nice. The Brewers joined the National, you know, were flipped over from the AL to NL 98. And then the Astros joined the AL a few years ago.
Right? I still get confused with the Astros.
I still, in the back of my head, only because I grew up and I still always forget. Not only me, I know that the AL. But
Dickie Thon. Remember Dickie Thon?
Yeah, I remember all Dickie those Thon. Guys. Phil Garner.
Kevin Bass.
There we go. So anyways, so that would be, by the way, and just for the hell of it, I'm going for the Brewers all the way. Only the only team I could really back and with who's left. So come on, Milwaukee.
Okay, well, we got one Brewers fan. We got one Sox fan. We all know who I'm rooting for. So hit the bell, Eric, because I need to get my second batter up.
Bing.
So you haven't got the bell.
It's upstairs.
Okay. It's upstairs.
Where's the bell?
Look at my back door. Where am I? I'm not upstairs. Am I? I've got to.
Wait, you couldn't bring it with you?
Wait a minute. Did we talk about when do we talk midnight. About? Are we going to talk about the Dodgers and the Cardinals?
We've already done it. No, we're moving on. We've done
moving on. All right,
screw St. Louis.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
You know that.
Okay. Right. Moving on. Second batter. And obviously the second batter is what is traditionally our leadoff batter, but he hasn't been hitting so well, so we've decided to give him a rest tonight. And that is, of course, the news roundup. Right, well, question topic number one has already been discussed. Devin Williams breaking hand, punching a wall after a few drinks, celebrating the Brewers making the playoffs.
Man, that is so bad.
Well, it is for the Brewers, isn't it? I mean, although interestingly, I mean, he was lights out last season and rated the best relief pitcher in the game. And yeah, this season he struggled. He didn't, I mean, certainly first half.
Only in the beginning. In the beginning.
Well, more than the beginning. First 2 months, mate. First third of the season. But yeah, it's a big loss, isn't it? It is a big loss. It is a big loss. I'll give you that.
Huge loss.
Okay. Well, so that's obviously the Braves for that divisional series. But let's move on. Jace Tingler fired. Padres manager axed. Not exactly a surprise. I mean, we almost tipped it. I still rewind to when he called out Tatis Jr. I think it was last season, wasn't it? When
You were very upset about that.
And I was upset. And I think most young baseball fans, and if we're trying to appeal to a younger audience, would agree. You know, the guy's a joy. I think this rule about not hitting, you know, a 3-0 pitch when there's a certain run lead, it's a nonsense. I mean, you play the game, you play the best of your ability, and you want to hit a home run. He ends up hitting a grand slam. Well done to him. I don't understand that. I think that's a stupid rule. But Jace Tingler's gone. How much of it? I mean, guys, there's no question with the money the Padres spent, what he achieved just wasn't good enough.
Well, apparently he lost a clubhouse, basically. He lost control of the clubhouse finishing third place with that lineup, I guess, was the writing was on the wall.
I mean, there's no disgrace coming third to two teams with the best records in baseball, one and two. But what isn't acceptable is to have a sub-500 record yourselves. Exactly. I mean, that's a shocker. Well, I have heard one name that's already been associated, Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, well, he's been there before. How old is he now, Bruce?
66. Is that what you want? You want a veteran?
That's the kind of guy I want. I mean, look, Bruce Bochy is, you know, he's not the most charismatic guy in the world, but he is a manager. That guy is a manager. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He is an old school manager. He won 3 titles with the Giants. And he's been doing this thing for years. This is what I want if I'm the Padres. I don't want Jace Tingler. Who the hell is Jace Tingler?
Speaking of teams that are desperately in need of a manager now, what's going on with the New York Mets there?
Yeah, they need. Well, look, the only reason I would have kept Luis Rojas around.
For those who don't know, by the way, Luis Rojas has not been breaking news.
He wasn't fired.
He wasn't fired.
Pick up his option. He had an option for next season, yeah.
It's basically firing.
Yeah.
Right?
Without firing, yeah.
But, you know, what I would say about Luis Rojas, first of all, same rules apply. I'm sick of this, like, you know, what he said when he left. I'm so glad about the way we got along in the club. I don't care how you get along in the clubhouse. The A's won 3 World Series in a row in the 70s. They hated each other. I don't give a shit if you're got best friends next to you. Or, you know, you guys are boys and you have this and you all wear the same T-shirts, like theme T-shirt. I'm done with this crap. I want real managers. Now, Rojas, I probably would have kept because it's Felipe Alou's kid. And I kind of believe that Felipe Alou's kid will be a good manager one day because he's Felipe Alou's kid. OK, so I kind of believe in that. But other than that, I don't want another science project. I kind of have a bad feeling they're going to bring Carlos Beltran back because he's the only guy that got the shaft, basically, in the entire Astros cheating scandal. He lost his job, was never hired back. Cora got his job back. The other guy got his job back. Everybody's fine. No players got suspended, right?
Yeah.
The guy in Detroit got his job back.
AJ Hinch.
So Beltran, meanwhile, is basically the only guy who took a knife to this. And I kind of think that they might bring him back, but that's not what I want. I want a Showalter type. I want a Bochy type.
Right. Well, interesting you mentioned Showalter because Peter Gammons, as we all know, you know, hugely respected in the world of baseball as a baseball reporter. He's mentioned Bruce Bochy as a Padres target, but he's also said that there's a possibility Buck Showalter be looked at. Ron Washington is another name.
Why doesn't Ron Washington get another shot? He took the Texas Rangers the World Series 2 years in a row. Who's done that? Answer, yeah. Nobody.
But I remember when we were reading about Jace Tingler being, you know, being on the looking precarious and his future being precarious, there was a lot of talk about how the players, you know, don't relate to him, don't feel he has the experience, the gravitas, because he was a relative newbie. And so someone like Bocci, 66 years old, spent 25 years as a skipper under his belt. And there is word that he is actually, despite going into retirement 2019, that he is keen to come back. And obviously spent a big stint with the Giants, won 2 division titles, 3 pennants, 3 World Series titles before he actually retired. And of course, spent 12 years with the Padres. So for me, he's the obvious fit if that's what they're looking to achieve.
We'll see.
If they want to bring in
a big good job moving right on. Now. It's a good job.
Okay, moving on. Otani is, this is extraordinary, keen to stay an Angel, which I don't know if it comes with conditions. I mean, certainly for me, given his MVP potential status, I'd be saying, yeah, I'll stay, I'll re-sign, but you've got to sign some decent pitching.
No. You know why he wants to stay with the Angels?
Why?
Because next year he's making $5.5 million and he's an MVP and he's like God. So God is making $5.5 million. So he says, well, I'm open to an extension. So maybe I can get a decent salary next year for being God. Can you pay God, please? So that's why he wants to stay. It makes financially, it makes the most sense for him to stay with the Angels. He probably also likes it as well. I mean, it's a good environment for him to be in. There's not a tremendous amount of day-to-day pressure for him. They're the second team in the area. They play second fiddle. And I do think they're getting a little bit closer. You know, if Rendon wasn't hurt and Trout wasn't hurt and, you know, they get a couple more, I think they are getting a little closer.
I don't think there's any questions that they've got a decent hitting lineup if they're fully fit. Jared Walsh was awesome this season, but they need to do something about their pitching. I mean, pitching stinks.
He's worth, what's he worth? I mean, the guy has over 40. I mean, what's he worth? He's going to be worth $30 million at least, right? I mean, he pitches and he hits on a high level. So next year he can make $5.5 million or they can tear it up or he can make $35 million. So what would you do? Now he can only do that with the Angels. So
and of course, bear in mind that, of course, we need to think about poor Mike Trout. He's been there for 10 years and he's only been in the postseason once. Moving on.
And I think that's the issue. I really think that's the issue. Does he want postseason baseball? And when you're that good, surely that's more important than money.
Can I ask you a question? Have you turned down $25 million lately?
No, but if I'd earned $25 million, was able to earn it next year
You never know, Johnny. His arm could fall off.
Okay, moving on. It's our last Padu watch. A view to Akil. What's happened with young Akil?
Basically, it is our last a view to Akil. In his last stint of the regular season, before we hopefully see him next year, he was 7-for-25, 3 RBIs. Hey, you know what? I'm just happy that he finished second in the triples. Not bad for a rookie, I say.
Okay, moving on. Middle of the seventh, seventh inning stretch. This is your moment, Eric. Baseball book of the week. I'm assuming that even with Josh not being here, there's no sign of one of JC's famous books.
Don't know who you're talking about. Now, of course, incidentally, Josh can't be here. He's just coming. He's busy with curling duties that he was qualifying for the qualifier for the Olympic qualifying. Which we can break the news that I'm afraid we will not be seeing Josh Chetwin with Team USA in Beijing Winter Olympics in 2022.
We want to offer him.
Be able to watch him on BBC 31 in the curling.
But we should offer condolences because apparently it was a real near miss. They lost a couple of games by one
exactly.
Curl or whatever.
He'll tell us all about it on our next show when he returns from his curling Olympic adventure.
Make sure you got the waffle ready for that one.
I am a curling guy too. You know, like I'm not doing baseball. I'm doing curling. Okay. Scotland.
I'll bring my own.
There we go. I'll convert you guys yet. Last week on Baseball Book of the Week, I brought up catcher in the rye. Not J.D. Salinger's catcher in the rye. I mentioned Bob Uecker's catcher in the rye, W-R-Y. So I think it'd be apropos that I do this week's Moberg catcher is a spy.
Mm.
Now here's the thing. David, a few shows ago, mentioned to me the Nicholas Davidoff book, The Catcher Was a Spy. Sorry, that's kind of not Catcher Is a Spy. Catcher Was a Spy is the actual title of the book. And it's one of those stories that Catcher Mo Bird, who caught with the Washington Senators, with the Boston Red Sox, Chicago White Sox, Brooklyn Robins. That's how long ago it was. And I thought it was actually hearsay. I thought that was just a rumor that he was actually a spy. He actually spied for the OSS, which became the CIA. He went to Japan pre-war, went to Germany pre-war, got involved with making sure Germany wasn't building an atomic bomb, and one of the few Jewish players to play the game. And
not many back then.
No, but I thought the whole like thing, all, was he a spy or not? Did he just make that up? Well, no, this book tells all, but that actually, yes, he was indeed a spy. And so The Catcher Was a Spy, written by Nicholas Davidoff, all about Mo Berg, is this week's baseball book of the week. But did you know, this is one of those weird things, there's actually a movie made about it a few years ago, and it was a cast of thousands. It was like Paul Rudd, Guy Pearce.
I didn't know that.
Mark Strong played Weisenberg. Paul Rudd played actually Mo Berg, but it was apparently terrible. So if you can ever find
The Catcher. Why.
So there's the film Catcher Was a Spy, and there's the book Catcher Was a Spy. That's your baseball book of the week.
Mo Berg, who has something in common with Lou Gehrig.
What's that?
What do you think that is? They both went to Columbia.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
They also went to Princeton.
That's right. That's why apparently Mo Berg was very multilingual. And sadly, after being, he actually died penniless and had to stay with family and all this in the last two decades of his life, because after his baseball career, he was a washed up baseball player, and after it, and then washed up spy, there wasn't much work for a washed up baseball catcher and a washed up spy in the 50s and 60s. So there you go. Read all about it. Moving on to pop culture. Now I'm wearing a shirt, which I shall reveal in a second if you're watching on YouTube. But Netflix actually is now, it will be streaming every single episode, all 9 seasons and 180 episodes of
I can't wait.
Seinfeld.
Yes.
Now Seinfeld was, now I've mentioned Seinfeld many a time on this show in the past. I find it interesting that it never really got into the British TV psyche.
Never.
It's people here in the UK don't get my Seinfeld references, but funnily enough, Curb Your Enthusiasm was a hit here. And I was saying, how can you guys like Curb Your Enthusiasm but not Seinfeld? Now, I just for David's purposes, I found this t-shirt, which is Nice Game, Pretty Boy.
Oh, I love that.
You know, with a picture of Keith Hernandez wearing a Mets cap on there. Again, if you don't understand the reference of Nice Game, Pretty Boy to Keith Hernandez, well, why don't you binge watch Seinfeld on Netflix, which is now available in the United Kingdom. Can I also mention that there's a bazillion baseball references, baseball cameos. George, of course, you know, he works with the New York Yankees for many a season. And so if you want your baseball fix within pop culture and comedy, Seinfeld is where you got to go.
Right. Okay. Moving on. Trivia answer, Eric. Have you got the reminder of the question? Okay, I have absolutely no hope. Again,
I asked because this year congratulating Akil Baddoo for finishing second with 7 triples in a season. But my question was, which active player currently has the most career triples? Was it A, Dexter Fowler? Was it B, Brett Gardner? Or was it C, Kelvin Kiermaier? Gentlemen, who's going to go first?
Dave, you go
first. I know what it's going to be. It's going to be Gardner, just to annoy me.
What, you think I purposely pick a Yankee just to, even though he's one of the...
Okay, 100%. Yes, I think that.
Okay, I'm going to go with the only one that's ever been in my fantasy team, Dexter Fowler.
Oh, God. Okay.
No other reason. I haven't got a hope.
That we got some great logic going on. My bitter relationship with the Yankees and your fantasy team.
I'm glad you guys really put a lot of thought into this.
You put a lot of thought and energy.
All right.
Well, let me see. I hate the Yankees. And Johnny.
Here's my fantasy team. All right. In no particular order, Kelvin Kiermaier.
Oh, it's looking bad.
51.
Mm.
Ooh.
Career triples.
The last triples.
And counting. Brett Gardner. 73.
Oh, well done, Dave. Looks like you're the winner, big guy.
Dexter Fowler. 82.
Yes! I'm so glad I got Brett Gardner. So
the last show of the regular season. I think this is only my second correct trivia question.
So that means you don't get the draft pick now. So.
Yeah. You're not going to get the draft pick. Is this where we do the whole broken clock is right twice a day thing?
No, this is where you acknowledge that playing fantasy baseball sometimes has its advantages.
It has its, yes, it certainly has its benefits.
It has its benefits, exactly. Thank you. Well, of course, that was...
Well, Johnny, congratulations.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. I appreciate it. The tragedy is that young Josh was not here to witness and to be humiliated. Move on. Okay, mailbag. We're into the last leg. We're into the home straight. Now, we mentioned early doors about UK Rays. Well, guess what? I'm going to mention UK Rays because he has sent us a very good Twitter question. And this is, of course, courtesy of our social media handles on Facebook, the Johnny and Josh Show, on Twitter, at Johnny and Josh. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we did hear from UK Rays, and he asked the following question. Should the playoffs be expanded? Last season's format seemed perfect. Surely questions rightly have to be asked if a 106-win team is eliminated from the playoffs after a single game. He is obviously referring to the fact that potentially the Dodgers will be knocked out by the Cards. You responded to this, I noticed, on Twitter, Dave, with a phenomenal answer, which was no, to which UK Rays responded, don't waffle. I absolutely loved that interaction between the two of you. So can you expand a little bit more on your thoughts on why you said no?
Yeah, last year had a lot of bad baseball teams in the playoffs. I don't want to see bad baseball teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And there's a very easy cure for a team with 106 victories being knocked out of the playoffs. Win 107 and then beat the other team in a play-in.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, you got to win the division. The division matters.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. And at the end of the day,
if you can't do it after 162 games, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So that's it.
But also, it's a freak. It's a freak. How often have we seen in the last 25 years, have we seen a season end with two teams with 106, 107 wins? I mean, it's rare. It so rarely happens that we shouldn't be making a big deal of it.
Don't forget, we also asked, when's the last time a team won 90 plus games and finished fourth in their division?
Probably
Toronto Blue Jays, So
That's it, right?
Absolutely.
How do you feel if you're a Blue Jays fan right now? Okay, so are you in agreement with that, Eric, before I move on?
Last year, I did like the idea of, man, let's see what it's like with an extra few teams. I didn't like it, so I think right now we have the perfect number.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year was different. We only played 60 regular season games. We needed to get more games in, and having more playoff teams was a good way of doing that. It got the league and the players a couple extra bucks as well, which is what they needed. And it fit the bill.
We're
in regular sort of time now, and it's over. And by the way, the extra inning rule is going away now in the playoffs. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
We're starting now. We're back to the old school way of deciding things, which is we play until we have a winner. And that's going away next year as well.
And do you know what, guys? The simple answer for me is the playoffs are exciting. At the end of the day, if you make the wild card, it's because you didn't win your division. So you haven't earned the right to have an extended series. So the fact that it's a crapshoot and it's a one-off, hey, live with it. As you quite rightly say, next season, win the damn division. You won't have the problem. Moving on. Gareth Neal. Thank you for this, Gareth, on Twitter. Probably too late for today's recording of the podcast. Gareth, it's never too late.
Never too late.
With this being the second full MLB season in a row with four teams with over, 100 losses, is there too much of a gap between the haves and the have-nots? What do you think, Dave?
Well, there is a gap. There's a gap between the teams that have money, the teams that have brains, and the idiots. You know, if you don't have brains or money, then you're a have-not, because we know that the teams with brains, a la Oakland, a la Tampa, a la sometimes Minnesota, can win, regardless of their financial standing in Major League Baseball. And we also know that teams that have all the money don't necessarily win all the time. I think the Mets had the third highest payroll this year, and they're not going anywhere last time I looked. So, you know, there are opportunities, unlike in the Premier League, unlike in other other sports, to win without having the haves, which I presume he's meaning haves equals money.
Yeah. Well, let's just clarify. The four teams he's referring to with 100-plus losses, the Orioles, the worst team in baseball. With 110 losses. Second to that is the D-backs, also with 110 losses. And back to the American League, we've got the Rangers with 102 losses. Okay. And in the National League, you've got the Pirates with 101. So those are the four teams that had 100-plus losses to which he refers. So then the big question is, how does that compare to payroll? And as you quite rightly point out, the Mets have had a pretty awful season, and they have the third highest payroll, just shy of $200 million. So 100%. Having said that, you've got the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox are the other four, and they've all made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But then you've got the Phillies, and you've got the Angels, and you've got the Padres in sixth, seventh, and eighth. None of them have made the playoffs. So the idea that the playoffs is directly related, you know, yeah, obviously it improves your chance if you've got a bigger payroll. But as you quite rightly point out, go down to the bottom, and you've got the Tampa Bay Rays with the 26th smallest payroll, 70 million, just under 71 million. And here they are, number one seeds in the American League. Eric, any thoughts on this?
No, moving on. Okay. We're going to also mention that at this time of recording, that by the time you listen to this, maybe you'll be listening to this just prior to the two wild cards, which will be Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning in the United Kingdom. It'll be, as we mentioned before, it'll be the LA Dodgers against the St. Louis Cardinals, and it'll be the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. So on our next show, we'll figure out what the hell's going on with the rest of the playoffs.
That'll be fun. Can we do it again?
That will be fun. Well, don't forget to get involved. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to UK Rays and Gareth Neil for your questions. But if you want to get in touch, don't forget the Johnny and Josh show is on Facebook, and we'd love for you to big us up with a like and a subscribe, and you can do that by hitting the buttons at the bottom of the screen. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
If it's working, that is. That's
it. Yeah, well,
YouTube's working, and don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, which has timestamps, which has previous episodes, which has our beautiful faces on it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll take cover those.
I didn't shave though.
It's all right. You're in darkness. It's absolutely fine.
Oh, okay. Great.
We also have some other podcasts in the same stable. Fantasy Baseball Behind Home Plate, the best seats in the house. Fantasy Baseball is your thing. I'm going to announce, because I'm very proud of Jimbo, James Holden, my co-presenter on BHB. We have won the Bat Flips and Nerds Invitational, the Fantasy Baseball League. 16 teams. We had to draft position 15, and we've won by a clear 20 points. We led for pretty much the whole season. And it's all down to James Holden. We have absolutely destroyed them. Seriously, Dave, second place team, very good player, 20 points behind us. James Holden is a flipping legend. When it comes to fantasy baseball, that boy is the best there is in the business. So if you do want to check out Behind Home Plate, then hopefully that proves the credentials of the man that is the legend of fantasy baseball.
Well, now that the season's over, you are doing one more episode. Is that right?
I think, to be honest, mate, we may do some into the postseason. We're definitely doing one more. There is on Fantrax. I don't know if you know that. There is a postseason fantasy baseball league you can enter. And so anybody out there that's feeling already the cold turkey of fantasy baseball withdrawal, well, that's something to consider, because we're certainly looking into getting a team. Anyway, don't forget to also check out the Nat Coombs show. That's at the NC show on Twitter. Nat, of course, is the main man at Ted Fred, and which we are a part of that stable. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Hit the buttons at the bottom of the screen. Like, subscribe, and be part of the family. Boys, as always, huge thanks to both of you. What was meant to be a short, snappy show has yet again been about the same length as normal.
Oh, my God. I have a lot of editing to do.
I can't believe you have to edit this.
Oh my god. One more thing, and of course, I have to add in as well, just to extend the show for a few more seconds. If you're into the MLB UK community, this Friday at the Home Run House at Stratford Westfield, there'll be a MLB meetup for fans watching the games with beers and hot dogs, and there's batting cages there. So basically, once again, the good people, George, and the good people, the MLB UK community, big meetup. I recommend the Sundays there. We can pick whichever Sunday you want and whichever batting helmet you want for under a fiver, I think, or something like that.
Love you guys. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to all our listeners. Will we be back next week? Yes, we will.
Yes, of course. It's playoffs.
It's playoffs. So we'll have the players. And hopefully we'll have Josh back as well. So until next week, take good care of yourself. Stay safe. Thank you from all of us on the Johnny and Josh Show.